You know, going over the text for this week, as Paul the Apostle is writing to the Thessalonians, and today I was having lunch with my son Shane, my middle son, and he's a musician, and he plays in a lot of secular places, and he was kind of sharing with me all of the beautiful things that God is doing and opening these doors as they go out into the highways and byways and they share their music with people. And the way they really trust in the Lord and the way the Lord brings the people and the people that come to know the Lord through the ministry there. And we were talking about all the things that are happening around the world today. And I began to share with him that I really believe that we are living in a time where we know, according to the book of Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and then if you study the book of Revelation from chapter 6 to chapter 18, we know that there is a time coming in the world of tribulation, where there's going to be not only earthquakes and famine and pestilence and hurricanes. And even like today, the poles, when you actually look at the North Pole, the poles are melting. And I wonder if God is not only shaking America today and trusting in ourselves and trusting in our finances and trusting in everything that we trust ourselves in. I wonder if God is going to allow the economies of the United States of America to fold to the different catastrophes that are happening. We are living in very serious days. And I don't think that a lot of people really see that the hand of God is truly not only moving, but His mouth is speaking. And He's speaking loud and clear to the world. We understand that God is working a plan and God is doing a lot of things. And like Paul the Apostle taught us just in the last couple of weeks in 2 Thessalonians, that there was a great lie going around that people were saying that the Lord already had come and the tribulation period was already in place, and the people began to believe the lie rather than the truth. Can you imagine how horrible it's going to be in the tribulation period? When all kinds of things happen, when the stars of the heavens fall, when the sun goes black, the moon turns red, when the two earthquakes come, one of them shakes the islands and the mountains out of their places in Revelation chapter 6, and then the other one comes and no mountain and no island is found in the face of the earth. They're talking about the Canary Islands. There's an island in the Canaries that is moving and is going to fall into the ocean. And they make some graphics the other day. You know, I was watching, the cable TV, and I think it was the Discovery Channel, and it was amazing when they showed, in graphics, if the island slips into the ocean, when it slips into the ocean, it's going to create a huge wave that is going to hit the East Coast and it's going to wipe out Boston, New York City. It's going to go way inland. I mean, things like that are going to happen. And they're all the call of God. Wake up calls. Earthquakes, hurricanes. And yet God not only knows, but God is speaking loud and clear where not only He's shaking the heavens and the earth, but He's putting us in situations where we as believers don't have to get a hardened heart, or we don't have to get a fearful heart. Why? Because we know the beginning to the end already. We know that we are not going to be here for the tribulation period. Paul even told the church in Thessalonica, you're not going to be here. And yet there are people that are constantly putting fear in the hearts of the people. And yet to me, like the other night when it was raining and pouring and it started thundering about 3 o'clock in the morning. Remember that thunder that hit? My wife jumped out of bed, straight up out of bed. She goes, what was that? You know, it was lightning, just white, you know. And we're used to, because we go to South America, there's bigger lightning than that. But I think, you know, I mean, God is in the thunder, God in the lightning, God in the rain, God in the snow, God in everything He's speaking, especially when there brings catastrophe. Because we're so secure in ourselves. We've been so blessed. And yet God is trying to speak and say, hey, you better get it together. I'm coming. I'm going to come. And as Paul is trying to correct these believers, that not only were they new believers, and Paul had been teaching them the Word of God and explaining to them prophecy. In the conclusion to the letter tonight, you will see that as Paul not only gives an assurance that, hey, the church is not going to be here, but there's going to be a great apostasy, there's going to be a falling away from the faith. The Antichrist will come when the church is taken out of the way. And then, can you imagine what it's going to be like here without the power and the work of the Holy Spirit within the church? We are salt and light today to the world. We're holding back evilness. Full evil that is going to be coming when the Antichrist comes. And Satan will have full power for the last 7 years to really mess with people. And yet, people don't believe it. Imagine if different cities in America begin to be crippled by tornadoes or earthquakes. Floods. And it's like Jesus said, it's like a woman that is getting ready to have a child, that right at the time when she's going to have this baby, the pain is not decreasing, it's increasing real quickly. And that's the way it's going to be for the coming of the Lord. He's preparing the way. One of these days, the trumpet is going to sound. And the church is going to be taken out of the way, just like Paul said here. We're going to be gone. Look what he says in verse 11. He says, for this reason, God, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You see? There are people that are unrighteous. There are people that are evil. The Holy Spirit can do nothing to them. They have decided, they have made the choice to live in evil and darkness. And they're going to perish. But yet God speaking. And that's why in Romans chapter 1, as you read on, he says this, and then God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Why? Because they repress the truth of God. When you repress the truth of God, when you don't want it, and God is speaking, he'll say, okay, I give you up. Do what you will. You're on your own. That's why as long as we can hear the Holy Spirit speak, thank God for it. As long as we're getting convicted when we do wrong, thank God for the Holy Spirit. It's a little alarm that He's put in the church, in the life of every believer. And so as Paul is closing his letter, now in chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, as he's closing the book all the way through chapter 3, Paul the Apostle says, stand fast in the truth. You see? He gives them an exhortation, and he's going to be literally ending up here with thanksgiving and prayer to the church. Standing fast in God's truth. Why? Because there's too much lying going on by Satan. There's too much evil in the world today. A lot of people are oppressed. A lot of people are depressed. You know? It's sad. So many young kids are so messed up today. You know, drugs and alcohol and videos and sex and all these things, and they're really being destroyed and isolated, and their parents don't know what to do with them because they're dissatisfied with life. Dissatisfied with life. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. Man, there's only one way to have peace, and that's with Jesus. He's the only one that can give you peace. So what Paul does here now is Paul was a balancing the believer and telling them there's a balance in the ministry. And we see the evidence of this in the letter as he's closing it. He moves from prophecy to practical Christian living. He says, now that you know that I've warned you about the last days and that there's a lie going around, now this is what you ought to be doing if you're a Christian. This is the way you should be living. He turns from the negative, that is Satan's lies, to the positive, God's truth, and from warning to thanksgiving and to prayer in the life of the child of God. Oh, how we need balanced ministries today. When there are so many wacko people in the world today. So many wacko people and wacko ministries that are totally off the wall, man. You hear them and you say, how can people watch them? How can people believe them when they're not even speaking from God's truth? And yet Paul was always bringing people back to the truth of God. So Paul here is emphasizing God's truth through his word in contrast to Satan's great lie, which believers have three responsibilities to God's truth tonight. Number one, we need to believe the truth of God's word. We need to. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we need to do what? We need to be daily in God's word. We need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible. There's a quote that comes from John Bunyan. This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. It's really important that you just don't pick up the Bible when you feel like it. It's like daily bread. Every day you have to eat three meals a day, some four, some five, some six. And if we have to, you know, eat so much, can you imagine how much important Jesus said that the Word of God is more important than daily bread? Why? Because the Word of God nourishes our spirits, our soul. The spiritual realm of men. The spiritual man needs to be fed every day. And so Paul is making the proclamation here in verse 13. He says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. The first thing that Paul does here is he wants to thank God for those in the church and those that have received the letter in the church of Thessalonica. Paul gives thanks to those that responded to God's work in their lives. Those that accepted by faith Jesus Christ. Those that were studying the Word of God. Those that were coming to Bible study. Those that were beginning to become mature in the Word of God. And they were taking responsibility in the church. Paul says, thank God for these. How I thank God for these that are in the church. How I thank God for you. For Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs. For what God has done in your life and what He's doing and what He's going to do. As you yield, as you submit your life to Jesus Christ and you put it on the altar and you say, Lord, here am I. What do you want to do with my life? I'm all yours. Take me. I will do whatever you want me to do. Just say it, Lord. In these two verses, 13 and 14, Paul reviews the stages of their salvation experience when they came to Christ. Salvation is the greatest gift of all. It's a free gift of what? Of God to us. When we come and ask by faith in Jesus Christ, how we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, brothers, sisters in the Lord. The first thing that Paul thanks God for is, notice in verse 13, second part of it, is what? God loves them. The love of God for them. How God loves me so much. How God loves you so much. Look what he says, brethren. Be loved by the Lord. Be loved by the Lord. Did you know that? That you are loved by the Lord? You are beloved by Jesus Christ. And that's why in John 3:16 it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, listen to what Paul says. This is so cool concerning his love for each one of us here individually tonight. In Romans 5, 8, the Apostle Paul again, he says to the church, he says this, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand what Christ did for you? He died for you. When he came from all eternity, after being in all eternity, God the Father said one day to his Son, Son, you're going to have to go down to this little world I created. And you're going to have to die. Jesus didn't have to die. Can you imagine? You're God. I'm dead. I'm not going. But what does the Bible say? He was perfect. He was obedient unto death. He said, Father, I'll do whatever you want me to do. That was God's plan for salvation. That's why in the Old Testament, they would kill lambs and goats and turtle doves. It was only a covering until Jesus Christ would come and he would become the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You see? Shadows and pictures of things to come in the Old Testament compared to the New. The real thing is in the New. Jesus. You see? He came to die for you. To die for me. So we need to really be thankful for Jesus Christ. That he loved us. He loved us way before we loved him. Even before the worlds were created, can you imagine? We already were in the thoughts of God. That to me, it's mind-boggling, man. I can't understand that. That God thought about me from all eternity and you. He already knew you. He knew what you were going to be like. He knew who your parents were going to be and your brothers and your sisters. God could have created robots. God could have gone to Venus or Jupiter or, you know, Mars or any one of the planets and he could have put life there. That's why there's no life there. But he chose one little place. Earth. Earth. Out of the millions and billions of galaxies he built, he created. He chose one world, this world. To come out of all eternity and to send his only begotten Son as a baby. Mary having that little baby. Going back to the Old Testament in Genesis 3:15 where the prophecy started for the Messiah that was going to come. The virgin birth of Christ. Joseph had nothing to do with it. She got pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus was born. And he was what? The Savior of the world. And for 33 years he lived on this planet. At the age of 30, he came out and started his ministry. And at the age of 33, they took him. And up to Jerusalem, he went by the Father's will. And he turned himself in and they put him on the cross and they killed him. They killed him. But it was foreordained. That was the plan of God for salvation. If Jesus would have never died, we would have no salvation. If Jesus would have never died and resurrected, there would be no omnipresence. You see, he could not be omnipresent. But now he can be everywhere at all times. Because he died and rose again, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. So he can convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He came to lead and guide and provide. So Jesus plays a major role in our lives. And that's why we can't take salvation and neglect the gift of salvation. We need to be thankful that God has given to us the opportunity to be lost and now to be saved through regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we would have no hope. We would perish. We would all go to hell. And yet God has given opportunity for people to make a choice to go to heaven or to go to hell. But he never, ever, ever made hell for men. The Bible says he made hell for the devil and his demons. Matthew 25:41. Any person that will ever go to hell cannot say, God never gave me a chance. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You made the choice to go to hell because you didn't take the opportunity. Beloved of the Lord, as we come to Jesus Christ, we are beloved of the Lord. Number two, notice. Number two is what? God chose us. Watch. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation, to rescue you. You're out in the ocean and you're drowning. What did he do? He threw out a life jacket to you. And all you had to do is say, no, I don't want it. Or you can take it. You see, it's a matter of choice. You don't have to take it. You can drown if you want to drown. And yet the whole world is like a sea, and Jesus is throwing out this line out to the world, and Jesus is just waiting. Take the jacket. You can be saved. And yet because of people's hardness of heart and selfishness and evilness and unrighteousness, they'll say, no, I'm not going to take it. And what happens to them? They go down. They drowned. At the end of their lives, they're drowned. And they go to hell. God never intended that. He says that God never intended for people to be lost like that. God made heaven for us to be with us forever and ever. For God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the key. He gives everybody, Mormon, Jehovah Witness, you know, the guy in the jungle. Every person gets an opportunity in this life. The heavens declare the glory of God. If you're out in the Amazon and you look up to the stars, the moon and the sun, what do they usually do? They make idols of what? Of a plane or a man or the stars or the moon. Because man has to worship. Man was created for worship. Something. It's like Bob Dylan's, you know, that song he wrote, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be this, it may be that. It's so true. Somebody, everybody is worshiping something or somebody. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. He says, you can't serve two masters. You love the one, you hate the other. You can't. Jesus has to be complete in my life. Because he loved us and because he chose us. From the foundations of the world, Jesus Christ chose you and me. You say, well, what about if God doesn't choose me? Well, let me put it this way. He gives you the opportunity and says, you want to come to me? Yes or no? That's how easy it is. You can say yes or you can say no. And you know what? He'll be fine with that. If you say no, he'll be fine with that. He already came to die for the sins of the world. There's nothing he has to do anymore. It's finished. It's finished. Completed. Now it's our responsibility to the Holy Spirit to come to repentance and to make that choice by faith in Jesus Christ to say, Lord, here am I. I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And how does that happen? Look at number three. Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. I love that. Notice what he says. How? By being transfigured. How? Being set apart by the power of the Holy Spirit. No one can come to Jesus Christ or be regenerated unless what? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. Nobody can come. Unless it's the work of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, does the Holy Spirit go after everybody? Everybody gets a chance in this life. Everybody. That's why when we're witnessing to people, it's so frustrating. Because you know what? We don't convert anybody. People say, but you know, they come up to you and say, well, how many people have you converted? Zero. Zero. What do you mean? Zero. Because it's not me. God uses me as a vessel. But God is the one through the Holy Spirit that brings in people by conviction and repentance. They have to make that choice. You see? We are God's what? We are God's instruments. We are God's... We're the messenger boy. We deliver the message. That's all we can do. We deliver the pizza. That's it. You know? And you can accept it or not accept it, you know? And it's really important that we understand that God not only has called you and I to this, but is the sanctification by the Holy Spirit, notice, and believe in the truth. And what is the truth? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to believe the Bible. You got to believe the stories. You got to believe redemption. You got to believe atonement. You got to believe by faith all the things that are written in this book, not just part of them, all of them. Full inspiration, full illumination, full revelation, according to the Word of God. This is God's manual to life. This is it right here. Nothing else. And that's why he talks about the gospel, believing in the truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, notice verse 14. To which, fourthly, he called you by the gospel. How were you called? You heard it on the radio, you heard it on television, somebody witnessed to you, or you were sitting at the dentist's office and there was a Bible there and you opened it up and God spoke to you. You see? Somehow you heard the gospel. You see? You heard it. And then you had an opportunity to be convicted, to receive it or to reject it. To be converted or not to be converted, you see? And it's so cool because here, God is just demonstrating here that He is the one that calls. He's the one that saves. He's the one that sets it all up. And we just respond by His love, His grace, and His mercy that He gives to us. He says, of which He called you by the gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. God gave them glory. The glory of God manifested. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? That's why Paul says here in verses 13 and 14, make sure we believe the truth. Make sure you believe God's word. Don't deny it. Don't reject it. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Get used to the Word of God. Know where the books of the Bible are, chapters, verses, so that you can give an answer to those that would ask you for an answer, especially an eternity answer. Know how to use the Word of God, or know how to use the sword when you use it gently. You see? The Word of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. As we share in His love and grace and mercy to people that are in need today. And there are so many people in need today that need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The second point is guard the truth of God. Verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Paul had told them about the future rebellion against the truth. Remember, we studied that in chapter 2, verse 3, the apostasy that was coming. In God's work in this world through the truth of His word, and Satan opposes the truth of God, and it's always sustains it by what? By lying, perverting the truth of God. You see? The way that Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, the way they pervert the word of God. And they don't speak the truth of God. They lie to people. They deceive people. They deceive them. Because they'll say, well, you know what? If you want to be a Mormon, you can read the Bible. But also, we have the Book of Mormons. And we say, well, let's read the Bible. Well, let's start with the Book of Mormons. You see? Or the Jehovah's Witnesses. And their beliefs of the Trinity of God. And their beliefs in the deity of Christ. I mean, it doesn't match the Word of God. And so Paul is very concerned here because surely we need to come to a place within our own lives here where he says guarding the truth. How do we guard the truth of God? Well, he says here, brethren, stand fast. And the word to stand fast here literally means hold fast or hold firm what's been given to you. Make, what do you mean? Stand your ground. Don't move. Don't move from the truth of God. Stand to the truth of God. There was a present danger here. A present danger here where people were trying to bring deception, false doctrines into the church. And yet you and I have a great responsibility because he says, hold on to the traditions. And the word tradition here is not laws and regulations, okay? It's not the Old Testament. Here, the word traditions literally means that which is handed from one person to the other person. How we minister to people. When you hand somebody the truth of God, give them the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You see? How do we do that? You got to study. You got to know God's word. You see, this truth was written down by what? By inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's become what? The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures according to the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 12 to 17. 2 Timothy. Right after Thessalonians is Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verses 12 through 17, let me read them. He says this. He says that the men of God, well, let me go to verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see? For every good work. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, Hebrews and then James and then Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. Look what he says. He says this, but he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking, and he's talking this whole thing concerning Balaam here. But then he goes on to say, Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the ways of righteousness, and he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. He's talking about the empty false prophets that are trying to twist the word of God like Balaam. You see, they come against the truth of God. Then he says in verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through the lewdness of one having actual escape from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. And for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, the later end is worse for them than the beginning. Interesting. Those that twist the scriptures, those that don't live up to the scriptures, the word of God. Why? Because these are the holy scriptures. You have to believe them. And God speaks about heaven, he speaks about hell, he speaks about judgment, he speaks about rewards, he speaks about holiness, righteousness, you see? That's what Paul is talking here about, the traditions that they had, which is the word of God, having a sound doctrine. And then remember what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, study to show thyself approved, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. You see, the truth is not invented by men. It was handed down by what? By God through Jesus to men. You see? That's what that word tradition means, to be handed down. Notice we talked about that. Handed down from man to man. God sent it through his Son, and his Son gave it to us, and not the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and to lead us and to guide us. And then the third thing that we have here is really important. Because in the last days, you know, Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, turn to that. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. He warns us. He says this. He says, now the Spirit says that in the last days some will depart from the faith, giving, notice, heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons or devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from food, which God created to be received with thanksgiving for those who believe and know the truth. You see? Those who know the truth, again. For every creature of God is what? Is good, and nothing is to be refused. It is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified or set apart by the word of God and prayer. You see? God speaking through the scriptures to us. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, he says, but know this, that in the last days, hard times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of God-likeness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Notice that. Turn away. And of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various desires of the flesh, after learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jambres and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Notice that. They don't want to hear the truth. Men with corrupt minds, this is a proof concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as notice, as theirs also was. God will punish them. God will punish them. So Paul says here, because brethren, as you stand fast, or you hold firm, or you stand your ground, hold it with a tight grip. Notice the traditions or the sound doctrine which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle, sitting here at Calvary Chapel or listening to the radio, watching television or through the internet. You see, you're getting the word of truth. The word of God is being taught to you. So you can grow, you can develop, you can stand fast in God's word. You don't have to back from it. And then notice thirdly, we need to practice the truth. Verses 16 and 17. It's not enough just to believe the truth. And notice, we have to guard it. We have to guard it. We must also practice it. Look what he says. And now may God, or may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Can you believe that again? As Paul is concluding the chapter, notice what he says to us here. He's closing with a benediction and a prayer. You know, he says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God the Father, who has loved us, and notice secondly, given us what? Salvation. Given us an everlasting consolation and good hope and by how? The grace of God. The unmerited favor of God given to us. The Paracletus has come and convicted us and brought us to salvation. And Paul wants to remind us once again the importance of salvation. The importance of God's love for each one of us individually. And the good hope by the grace of God that we have not only to one another, but as God gives to each one of us individually, his love and his grace and his mercy. And then he says in verse 17, comfort your hearts. Comfort your hearts. That word comfort is the same word in the Greek for the Holy Spirit, Paracletus. The one that comes alongside to do what? To assist you. I love that. To assist you. Notice, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Our walk and our talk must what? Agree. They cannot be opposites. They cannot be contrary. You see, works are good, But words must come from what? From the same yielding heart to God. You see, it's what we say that we can damage people. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. But works is the evidence of true salvation. You see? It's the evidence of true salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's of faith. You see, as we come to Christ. But at the same time, a true child of God has true works. James says the same thing that Paul says. You need works, you need faith. Faith and works. And that comes through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ as we obey the word of God. As we are obedient to God's word, then God can do a greater work in my life. We don't have to be condemned anymore. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because not only, as we started in the beginning, remember the 3 points. We believe the truth, we guard the truth, and we practice the truth. Because He is righteous and because He is true. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior tonight. Father, we come before You this evening, Lord Jesus, to thank You so much for Your love and grace and mercies that You give to us so richly, so freely, Lord God. And Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that as You speak loud and clear to us, Father, that there may be people watching through the internet or, Father, even people sitting here tonight. Lord, we pray that that beautiful gift of salvation that is given by You freely through the conviction of Your Holy Spirit, that You give us that opportunity, Father, to receive it or to reject it. To respond or to say no. Father, we pray that if there's anybody here tonight, Lord God, that doesn't know You, that Your Holy Spirit already would begin to work in their lives. If you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and you want salvation tonight and you want God to use your life, and you want to be free from all of the unrighteous things that you have done, then you need to repent. And you need to come by faith. And because of God's blood through His Son, Jesus Christ, as it was shed on Calvary for us by redemption, it will cleanse you, it will wash you, and it will make you a brand new person tonight because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives tonight. Regeneration. Transformation of the Holy Spirit in my life. If there's anybody here tonight that would like to do that, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to walk out onto the aisle, and I want you to come up here to the front of the stage here by the staircase here, and I'm going to pray for you. All of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer and repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me out loud. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to You that I have sinned against You. I ask You by faith to wash me by Your blood, and I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.